Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Heavenly Father, Lord, God, we're in awe of who you are. We're in awe of your faithfulness. What more can we say than great is your faithfulness? Lord God, it's not always about just what we speak. It's how we conduct ourselves. It's the fruit in our life. It's what we actually believe within our hearts that matters. Lord, help us. Help us to not only proclaim great is your faithfulness, but to truly believe in our hearts how great your faithfulness is. So Jesus, this morning, Lord, with all the cares, with all the distractions, with all the pressures that come against us, Lord God, we lay down before you. We surrender before you. We humbly lay our burdens before you because, Lord, we know that you are faithful to meet us here this morning. Lord God, right now I pray for those that are apart from us today for whatever reason, be it the Labor Day weekend. If they're on vacation, Lord God, I ask that you keep them safe. But Lord God, if they're battling something, maybe it's something in their mind that's keeping them away. Maybe it's stress or anxiety. Lord, we give that to you. And we pray for those that have a physical ailment, a sickness, whatever that may be, Lord, we give that to you as well. We know that you are the ultimate healer. So Lord, we ask that we can humbly submit to you, to pray to you, to seek your face. Lord, we pray for Bill and Darlene Rains and their health issues and the worrying and the fretting that can come along with those things. Lord, it always seems to be a perfect storm when tribulation comes into our lives. It's rarely just one thing. One thing leads to another and it leads to another. But Lord God, you're over all of those things. So we proclaim your name, the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody just shout out Jesus.
Jesus!
Jesus, we love you. We give all things to you. We offer you this worship. We offer you the rest of this service. We offer you this weekend that we have, this Labor Day weekend, Lord God, not as a distraction, but as a way to pull near to you. So Jesus, be glorified today. We pray this in your mighty name. And everyone shouted,
Amen.
Amen. You guys can grab a seat real quick. Actually, children, you can't grab a seat. Because you guys are leaving. You guys are going downstairs. So, kids, you are dismissed. I got a kick out of a text I got last, I think it was last Sunday. A grandparent texted me and said, hey, when my granddaughter came up on the ride home, she asked me what we did in church. Isn't that awesome? We always ask the kids, hey kids, what did you guys do in church? And it's awesome. But when those little voices come back and they ask us, hey, what did you guys do in church? That's a special time. We have some video announcements in one quick second. But one that I want to throw out there just to make sure we have our movie Under the Stars this Friday. There's a lot going on with that, and there's a lot of holes that need to be filled. And just a little bit of help. If you guys would be willing to help in any way, like help serve the food or anything like that, there's a sign-up sheet on the table in the foyer, right there at that big table under the TV. So sign up for that. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to have a lot of people that don't regularly go to this church that will come to that, hopefully. So sign up with that. Here's our announcements. So what's coming up? Movie Under the Stars. Hey, have you heard about Movie Under the Stars? We've got Movie Under the Stars this Friday night. So get here. We have, throw that slide up, Chelsea. Boy, we got a mess. You have such high hopes. And then technology. Starting at 6:30, the barbecue starts, so just show up, and if you can help, come early and we'll get you plugged in. Nope, we're still on Movie Under the Stars. All right, Movie Under the Stars. Show up at 6:30. The movie will start at dark. So depending on how smoky it is or how cloudy it is, darkness can come earlier or later. I will tell you this from experience from last year. Bring plenty of warm stuff. So bring your chairs, bring a blanket, bring a coat, all those good things. Bring some movie snacks. We will serve the meal, but everybody has their own movie snacks that they like. So that is Friday. Let's see, that's Friday. Wednesday, the 8th, our life groups start. So we have life groups kicking up again. We have kids downstairs in the basement. We have youth in the office basement, and we have adults in the upstairs of the office complex over there. And we also have a coffee bar. So 5:30 to 6:15 is the meal, and then groups start at 6:30, and we try to wrap those up around 7:45. Depending on who's teaching, it sometimes can get a little bit long-winded, but it's always amazing and good. For the adults, this first class that we'll be starting is going to be talking about the book of Revelation, end time stuff, eschatology, if you want to sound smart, all good stuff. So plan to attend one of those. And then lastly, for announcements, we have youth conference. Actually, we don't have youth conference because we're too old, most of us. But you youths in here, you guys have youth conference. It's coming up October 21st and 22nd in Great Falls. Those are the days the public school is off anyway. So kids, tell your friends, bring your friends, get signed up. Talk to Chelsea about that, and she'll point you in the right direction and get all that ready to roll. As always, there's three ways to give here. There's giving boxes on the wall. In the back, you can fill out the envelope and stick it in there. You can kind of mark what you want your money to go to. Of course, your tithe comes in, and then your offering can go to different places. You can give online. BridgeHelena.com to the giving page, or you can send it by mail. Use a stamp and everything, but we want to give you an opportunity to always give. I think that is it. One more. Reva has a table out there for 40 Days for Life. Our church will be taking, it's a 12-hour shift, right? And it's on October the 8th. We are great at 24-hour prayer, so signing up on the list. As that gets closer, we will have a better opportunity to get signed up for that. But what you can do is sign up for a slot and then actually go down and pray. And Reva will get us all clued into that. But it's a 12-hour shift, so we need to. As a church, how many churches are committed to this? 15 churches so far are committed to this, so we're trying to pray the whole month. So we took our day, and that's what we're going to do. So that's a Friday, right? Is that a Friday? Friday, the October 8th. Stick it on your calendar and be willing to sign up and just go down and pray for the unborn and all those great things. All right. Good stuff, right? Right. Thank you. Yes. Technology. It worked. Part of it. Let me pray real quick, and then we're just going to get going on this message. I've been so excited about this message. It's just one of those that just, when I was writing it, when I went back to it, I just get so excited about these type of messages. So let's pray. Father, Lord, again, we are so thankful that we can be in here this morning. Lord God, it's one thing to just come to church, but it's something else to really dive in and be church. So Lord God, this morning, help us to open up our hearts. Help us to humbly come and submit ourselves to you. Lord God, stepping away from ourselves, listening to what you have for each one of us. And Holy Spirit, for me, Holy Spirit, I pray that I can get out of your way. Because you have something that each person in here, each person listening on Facebook so desperately needs to hear. And Lord, for some unknown reason, you've chosen me to convey a lot of that. So Lord God, help me not get in the way of that. If you have it for me to say, let me say it. If it's not of you, Lord God, shut my mouth and don't let me speak it. And Lord God, I pray for hearts in here this morning. And I desperately and seriously pray that nobody leaves this building today the same way as they walked in. The burdens that they brought, Lord God, you are the one that is capable of taking those burdens. So Jesus, be lifted up and be glorified this morning. We pray this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. How are you guys this morning? Look around. You're the guys that didn't go on vacation. Yay! That's good, right? I'm so glad you're here. So glad. I don't even quite understand what Labor Day is. We celebrate people who have jobs. Is that what Labor Day is? Maybe we need that in our country right now. I don't know. Well, over the last 8 weeks, the messages that you have heard me speak in here have really been geared toward equipping the body. And when I say the body, I mean the church. And when I say the church, I don't mean a building. I mean those that have made a decision to follow Christ. When we do make that decision to follow Christ, when we say, Jesus, I need you. Give me everything that you got and take away everything that I was. I want to be in you and with you. And Holy Spirit, I want you to be in my temple. We become part of the Big C Church. That's the universal church. That's all of us together, Christians all over the world. Those being persecuted in Afghanistan. Those that are growing the church in China. Those that are here in the U.S. So over the last 8 weeks, I feel like the messages have really geared us toward being equipped. And what I mean by that is that we have been challenged in our overall outlook as it pertains to those that are around us. Right? Those that do not have a relationship with Christ. And we can think about that in far away places, but we must also think about that in close proximity to us, our neighbors, our co-workers, maybe those in our own family that are apart from you. So we started out this whole emphasis, I guess, with a mini-series, a three-part series called Sent, and that was really about Jesus sending out the 72, right? He sent them out. He gave them specific instructions, and he said, hey, I'm going to have you go before me, and we broke that down and saw how that is. There's a lot of practical stuff in there that we can apply into our own lives. After those three messages, we did a message called Transformed, and that was one of my favorite messages, I think, and we used music to illustrate or to help us better understand being without Christ versus knowing who Christ is versus having a relationship with him. I thought it was dynamic. I thought it was powerful. It helped a lot of lights go on within my own brain. And then after that, we took a Sunday and we were encouraged by hope. We talked about hope, and I got a lot of feedback from that message. Just things like, man, we needed that. Was just at the right time. I thought, I know when he does things, it's always at the right time. So we talked about hope. And then the next Sunday, we looked at when those same 72 people that Jesus sent out, when they returned and they came back and they were so excited and how Jesus shared in that excitement, but brought them back at the end and said, hey, don't rejoice because of that. Rejoice because your names are written in my book, the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what we are to completely rejoice in. And then the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the dangers, really, of religion that can creep into the church and false teaching. 2 weeks ago, in large letters, we gained an understanding from Paul's writings at the end of the book of Galatians as to the importance of testifying to the true gospel. Salvation by grace through faith alone, right? We believe in Jesus, period. Jesus is the one who changes things within our lives. We have to stand against those that say, yeah, but it's Jesus and. You need Jesus, but you also need to do this. Paul specifically addressed that in the book of Galatians. And then last week, the title was Contending for the Faith. And it was all about being warned about false teaching, as well as understanding the importance of us who are called Christians. We would deem ourselves as Christians, the importance of us actually living out our Christianity and why living for Christ is so important. This has all been in conjunction with our dedicated prayer for five people that the Holy Spirit has laid upon our lives. We have our cards. There's still blank cards out there. If you've never grabbed a card, if you've worn your card out because you've been praying so much, get another card. Write those names down. Continue to pray for those five. God is doing amazing things. And I believe God is calling us as a body of believers to be prepared and to be ready for the harvest that he's already bringing in, right? We see it all over the world. People are coming to Christ all over the world. And I'm telling you what, if you don't believe me, just turn on the news. The United States is an incredible mission field right now. But I'm going to say this, God is working. God is on the job. God is doing stuff. So how does that look for us as a church, or you as an individual? Well, it very much looks like being submitted, right? Not always an easy thing to do because we're independent Montana people. We don't like to submit to anything. It's about being humble. It's about seeking Christ and his direction, not our direction. If your prayers are full of things telling God where you want to be and what you want to be doing, I think you're missing the point. I think some humility needs to come in there and say, Christ, Jesus, do with me what you will, because it's all about your direction. And we need to be willing to engage with the opportunities that God is placing before us. How many of you in here can say God has never placed an opportunity in your life to draw nearer to him, to testify to him, to share his love with somebody else? See, nobody can raise their hand because God is doing it all the time. Now, all of this that we've been talking about, all of this the last eight weeks and even before that all brings us to now. It brings us to today. It brings us to this point on a Sunday morning. And by the way, if you've missed any of those messages, I would encourage you to grab a listen. You can get them on Facebook or our website. Best way to probably get them is off our YouTube channel. Grab a listen, get caught up, get challenged. Confidence is a funny thing, isn't it? A lot of people, you know, they say, hey, what's wrong going on in our school system is these children just lack confidence. We need to do whatever we can to build up their confidence. And as young adults, we can get confused because we don't quite know where that we fit in. And it's a confidence issue. But I'm telling you right now, confidence is a funny thing. See, depending upon where I choose to place my confidence, that's going to determine the depth of that confidence in my life. There has been so many things that have failed me. I think we can all agree with that, right? But I know firsthand that there's so many things in my life, looking back over the, I could say decades, but that would make me sound old. Looking back, there's just been a lot of things that have failed me. There have There have been friends that have failed me. There's been family that has failed me. There's been jobs that have failed me. There's been situations in my life that have failed me. There's been the excitement of opportunity, but it's only failed me. Even church experiences have failed me. Now sometimes these failures have come from a person, right? It's no fun being failed by a person. Sometimes from a series of events, or sometimes circumstances have failed me. A lot of the time, though, those failures come because of something that I did, or something that I didn't do. As human beings, we tend to just get used to these failures, don't we? We chalk it up to just a part of life. Failure is just a part of life, and I'm not naive. I would mostly agree with that statement, that failure is just a part of life. From my Christian perspective, I know that because we live in a fallen, sinful world, this world, including the people in it, will consistently fail me. That should come as no surprise, but it might come as a shock that I'm speaking that from the pulpit. So we're supposed to just be optimistic up here. We got to deal with reality, people, situations, circumstances, family, friends, jobs. They're gonna disappoint you. They're gonna fail you. The tragedy, though, for some, and this can very much include Christians, is that it's these very failures that come to define them. So listen again as I say, yes, very much the world will fail you. Your career will fail you. Your finances will fail you. Your friends will fail you. Your family will fail you. But those failures don't have to be what defines you. For me in my life, I can boldly stand up here and state with confidence that God has never failed me. God has never once, in my 51 years, God has never once failed me. And He is the only one that hasn't. God is the only one in my life that has never failed me. God has always been and will always be faithful. Now that doesn't mean that I am always faithful. I'm not always faithful to God. And it is here where a disconnect can occur. See, I can blame my lack of faith or my lack of faithfulness upon God, and in so doing, I begin to look for other places, other areas to put my confidence, to draw confidence from. I think we need to cultivate an environment within our own lives where we can recognize and see the faithfulness of God. See, we can get so busy in our lives that we overlook that. We overlook the faithfulness of God because we're so caught up in us. We're so caught up in our situation. We're even so caught up in our failures that we lack to see what God is actually up to. See, to cultivate is simply to try to acquire or to develop a quality, a sentiment, or a skill. We have to work at it. We have to actually put forth effort. God's faithfulness is definitely there. But am I in a place where I can see it? If not, then I need to determine to be diligent in developing a devotion to Christ that will declare the faithfulness of God. See, I have to work at it. I have to put forth some of my own energy. Today we are going to look at three fundamental statements about the faithfulness of God that we need them to first confidently embrace in our own lives. And second, so that we can testify to those who God places within our path. Some people say, "Ah, it's so scary to witness, so scary to talk to people about Jesus. At my work, I'm afraid somebody will see me with my Bible or to pray." You need to cultivate in your life that faithfulness that God has, so that we gain that confidence, so that we can embrace it not only in our own lives, but to the world around us. Now, before we look at these three statements, we must understand that God's faithfulness has two sides. God will carry out his faithfulness to us, both in his promise, his everlasting, eternal promise, but as well as his warning. Okay, we have to understand that what the Bible says, the scriptures in there, if you have a life with God, he is faithful, that's the life that you will live. But if you have a life absent from God, it tells you the kind of life you will live as well. So statement number one is this: God is faithful in his character. God is faithful in his character. Psalms 89:9. This is from the Amplified. It says this: "O Lord God of hosts, who is like you? O mighty Lord, your faithfulness surrounds you as an intrinsic, unchangeable part of your very being." Now, in the original text, this faithfulness speaks of a steadiness. We need some steadiness in our life. And we can place confidence in the Lord because his character is steady. You ever been around those erratic people? They're all over the place. They're like a cartoon. Their emotions seem to swing as quickly as the pendulum of a clock. I'm happy. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm excited. It just is all over. That's not steady. That's all over the place. Maybe that's you, right? But I think we all long for some steadiness. See, stating that God's character is steady, that literally means that God is who he says he is yesterday, today, and for all eternity. Apart from God, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that possesses this same steadiness. This is important for us because as human beings, we are inherently not steady. We are very unsteady. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Man, you're kind of unsteady." That's just speaking the truth. It's speaking the truth in love. All of us are unsteady, but God possesses the character trait of being steady. God being faithful in his character testifies and upholds his holiness, his love, and his righteousness. And within the attributes of his character, God's steadfastness and his steadiness brings us a substantial place to stand in a world of chaos. Man, this world is chaotic. And I thought last week was chaotic. I thought the 2 weeks ago was chaotic. I thought 2020 was chaotic. I thought before 2020 was chaotic. It just gets more and more and more chaotic. But the steadiness of God never changes. So simply put, because God is faithful in his character, we are able to trust and believe in his promise. Anybody say amen to that? We can trust in that promise. See, I look around the world. I do look around the world and it seems to be falling apart right before our eyes. I pray for our kids. I pray for our teenagers that are just growing up in this world. People are mixed up with their morals. They are seeking anything and everything that will help them escape and bring the most minute level of comfort. They want anything that helps them to feel just a little bit of steadiness, just a little bit of comfort. Governments have lost the trust of the people through their corruption and their lies. Even the earth itself seems to have turned against us. Hurricanes You have any hurricanes this week? Yeah. Earthquakes? Have any earthquakes in the last couple of weeks? Yeah. How about floods? Any floods? Yeah, had floods. Massive fires? Yep. Other side of the country, massive fires. So common these days that they barely make the headlines for more than a day. Yet God, within his character, he never changes. And that is where I find my refuge. And that is where I find my hope. See, God is faithful in his character. And it is that that brings confidence into my life and builds within me a desire to share this confidence with those around me who are losing the battle to chaos. They're losing the battle to anxiety. They're losing the battle to fear. God is faithful in his character. Statement number two. God is faithful in his sacrifice. Hebrews 9:12 says this. He entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. It's God's perfect creation. You know, God created a perfect world. He did it in 6 days. And it was absolutely perfect. But that perfect creation is tainted. All of a sudden, it's tainted by the actions of Adam and Eve. And because of those actions, sin and division alter the perfect world that God created. And because of that, mankind is thrust into what we have been born into, right? You are born into sin. You are born into a fallen, sinful world. And yet, immediately after those same actions of Adam and Eve, God already had the solution. See, because God is faithful in his character, there was no other option than provide a perfect, sinless blood sacrifice in order to reestablish the relationship and to redeem mankind. So the most unthinkable action was set into motion. And God, because of his love for us, sent his only son to die for us. See, this is the foundation of Christianity. The foundation of Christianity is Jesus. The plan. The Father loves us so much that he sent the Son to die for us. That's our founding tenet of Christianity. And we can agree to that. But on a personal level, I still cannot comprehend or rationalize how God could love me so much. I can believe he loved you guys so much that he would do that. I can believe that he loved the world so much, mostly, that he would do that. But it's hard for me to believe that he loved me so. Doesn't he know me? Doesn't he know the things that I have done? Doesn't he know the thoughts that I have thought? Doesn't he know the actions that I partook in, but God still loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me. I think the power of Christ's sacrifice and the fullness of God is the very reason that we lack the ability to truly understand and comprehend the complexity of this action, right? It's so hard for us, yet it's there for us. And God is faithful in his sacrifice. And God, through that same faithfulness to his sacrifice, he just simply extends his son to us. There's no requirement. There's no nothing. God continually extends and is faithful to extend that sacrifice to each and every one of us. Romans 5:8 says this, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is that not the essence of his faithfulness in his sacrifice. What a beautiful thing it is. Because God is faithful to unfaithful man in his sacrifice, we may stand before God himself clean and deemed innocent. Amen to that. We understand it. We comprehend it. But do we live that? Do we truly believe that? Now, the life I live is no longer confined within the death sentence that I absolutely deserve, but rather I live with the confidence of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. You start to live with the confidence of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know what that does? It causes you to talk different. It causes you to look at in the mirror and see a different person. It causes you to conduct yourself different. It causes you to walk different. It causes you to be different. What we need more of is Christians living with the confidence that Jesus Christ is truly their Lord and Savior. Because of his faithful sacrifice, I am now led to offer my sacrifice back to him. And the greatest sacrifice I can give him is my simple life through my obedience, which I fail him constantly with that. But Jesus says, no, just come on back. The Father says, no, just come on back. The Holy Spirit says, no, just come on back. Now, if I begin to understand this and believe it in my heart and believe to live that out on a daily basis, how might my obedience to God affect my fellow man? Whoa. The opportunities are endless. Now I will leave. I will leave that to you. I'll leave that to you to determine on your own. But I will say this. All the answers to that question are in the book. So read the book. Statement number 3. God is faithful in his action. God is faithful in his action. This really is a demonstration of God's sovereignty. So first we must understand that there is no limit. There's no limit to God's rule or his ability. He's omnipotent, omnipowerful. God is never helpless. God is never frustrated. God never doesn't have the answer. God is never at a loss. God is never surprised. And God's actions and the faithfulness of these actions flow from this same place. See, action. Action is where rubber meets the road. Action is an opportunity that comes to fruition and follows through with fulfillment, right? We have opportunities all day long for all different things, right? But we don't always come through with those opportunities. Those opportunities don't always come to fulfillment. But God is a God of action. And when there's opportunity, it will come to fruition. And he will always follow through with fulfillment. So if you're in process, it's okay to be in process. Just continue to be in process. Continue to move. Because what God has started, God will fulfill. He will bring you through that. As long as you simply sacrifice your obedience and your heart to him. Flip up that next slide. Because God is faithful in his action, we are not condemned to rely upon ourselves, but rather we can have confidence in his own actions. How many of you guys are glad that we don't have to rely upon ourselves? I don't want to rely upon myself. I don't even want to have to rely upon others. I don't want to have to rely upon situations. I don't want to have to rely upon government. I don't want to have to rely upon any of those things. But because God is faithful in his action, I can have confidence in the sovereignty of God. And then it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I can have confidence in his actions. Actions? What do you mean you can have confidence in his actions? Like what? Flip that sign. Well, it's like God is faithful to fulfill his promises. How many of you guys believe that God is faithful to fulfill his promises? Maybe it's not instant. But when there's a promise of God, it will be fulfilled. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold on without wavering. We live in a time period, in a culture, in a society where we want it and we want it now. And if we don't get it now, we're going to find some other way to do it, and we're going to find some other thing to put our thought and our effort and our time into. But this is saying hope without wavering. That's the eternal hope of Christ. That's the action of God. And he is faithful within that. What else? Flip that side. God is faithful to forgive us. Oh, I wish we could end it right there. But we can't. God is faithful to forgive us even when we are unfaithful to him. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now the mistake comes as Christians when we tell people, hey, just come to Christ and everything will be perfect. Your life will be wonderful. You will never have to walk through anything again. You will be so close to God. Everything will be wonderful. You'll start seeing rainbows and unicorns all over the place. That is not biblically accurate. The fact of the matter is we are going to go through trials and tribulations. We are going to take missteps. We, as saved, Jesus-loving people, are going to make mistakes. We are going to commit sins. Maybe they're tiny. Maybe they're bigger. But we understand that God is faithful to forgive us, even and especially when we are unfaithful to him. Some people out there are going, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that, unfaithful to Jesus. None of us in here, the saints within this building, none of us are unfaithful to Jesus, are we? Not while we're in the building on a Sunday morning, we're not, right? We walk through those front doors and people start coming in and your life is wonderful. It's great. It's just the drive here to church was a little rough. Last night was a little rough. When you get in an argument with your wife on the way home because neither of you can decide what you want for lunch, it can be a little rough. I think everybody in here deserves biscuits and gravy, Ron. I do. I think that's a God-given right. Inside joke, you guys, and it's pretty funny. But we're unfaithful. We're an unfaithful people. We take missteps. We miss the mark. We try not to sin. We don't willingly sin, but opportunities to sin always abound. But because God is faithful in his action, God is faithful to forgive us no matter what. It's a wonderful thing. Next slide. God is faithful to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Ooh, I like that one. That's an amener right there. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the end, at the day of Jesus Christ. I read that, and it makes me think of something. And then I look at you guys, and then I read that, and it's like, well, I'm sure that what that he who begin a good work in you will bring it to completion. What that's telling me is that nobody's quite complete yet, right? Again, process, right? We're in process. Sometimes we can make the mistake of walking into a church and looking at certain people and being like, man, they got it all together. That is a saintly folk right there. Oh, man, I wish I could be more like him because I think his life must be perfect. He is fully sanctified. He is righteous and holy. He is just one step away of being in heaven. Where is his halo? And that person is looking at that person going, oh, if you only understood that I am in process. The completion does not come until the day of Jesus Christ, either his return for his church or when we pass away from this body, we leave this body and we enter into heaven and we stand before God. It is only at that point that we are complete in Jesus Christ. So I guess what this is saying is because God is faithful in his action, we can trust in that to understand that what he is doing within our life is active, it's moving, it's progressing, and that he will bring that day of completion. But what we need to be doing right now is just being within Christ Jesus, allowing him to change us, allowing him to move us, allowing him to speak to us, desiring that we hear him. Again, understanding all full well that we will make missteps, that we will mess things up. But he is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a process, right? You don't come to church one time, get saved, and you're good for the rest of your life. You go to church, you get saved, you begin a wonderful, adventurous journey that each day you try to step a little bit closer, be a little bit more like Jesus every single day. God's action allows us to do that and have confidence that when we put that effort in, he is putting in 99% more effort to change us. Next slide. God is faithful to guard us from temptation and the evil one. Oh, goodness. This is a big one. Thank you, Jesus, that you are faithful in that. Thank you, God, that you have action and ability and authority to accomplish this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation. Everybody say no. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. You guys are going through stuff. You guys are being tempted. You guys are walking through things. I hate to say it, but you're not unique. Though it may seem unique because you may have never experienced before, it's not unique to you. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may not be able to. That you may be able to endure it. Does that say that we will never be tempted? Absolutely not. That's why we love Scripture, because it doesn't lie to us. We love Scripture because it's not a used car salesman telling us one thing and bait and switching us to something else. The Word gives it to us straight. We will be tempted, yet through God's action, we will not be tempted beyond our ability. What is our ability? Our ability is through Christ and the Holy Spirit. We can stand against temptation, but only through the Holy Spirit because of Christ's sacrifice and the action and the authority of the Father. But he will provide us an escape. Man, isn't that crazy? How many of you guys have in here have ever been like so freaked out and scared? You didn't know what you're going to do, and you pray. And stuff changes. How many of you guys have been so hot, man? You are so angry. Man, you're going to do something. You are going to do something terrible. You are shaken. You're so angry. And you say just a little prayer. What happens in your life? Things change, don't they? An escape has been provided. It's an escape from this temptation to react, to overreact, to sin, to dive into something. You have a temptation. Maybe it's a lustful temptation. Maybe it's a temptation to steal something. And you step back real quick and you say, God, man, what is going on with my thoughts? Lord, help me with these thoughts. Lord, take these thoughts. That's not a prayer that's going to take 6 months to be answered. An escape, a pathway, a way out is going to occur right away. It's not a physical doorway. Maybe it is. It could be, I guess. But what is really going on is your spirit is crying out, saying, soul, get back to where you need to be. Thoughts, get back to where you need to be. Temptations, get back to where you need to be. The escape comes when we rely upon the Lord and we have confidence that God is a God of action. How exciting is this? How exciting is it? Hey, put up those three actions again, or those three things of his faithfulness. God is faithful in his character. We got to get excited about that because nobody else is faithful in their character. I'm not saying don't trust anybody. What I'm saying is be as wise as a scorpion, be as peaceful as a dove, but we got to be wise and we got to understand that only true faithfulness, it's God's character. We can have faith in that he is a good sovereign God. And God is faithful in his sacrifice. God is faithful. That's the basis of Christianity right there. If God is not faithful in his sacrifice, you are all fools for being here today. If God is not faithful in his sacrifice, this Bible means absolutely nothing. If God is not faithful in his sacrifice, who cares about eternity? You have no, there's nothing there that says this or that. It's just random chance, right? Like evolution is random chance. But it's not that because God is faithful in his sacrifice. And then God is faithful. He is faithful in his action. He is faithful in his ability. And not only are these faithful actions for you and I sitting in here today, but the amazingness of God is that he extends them to all that are apart from Christ. Man, some of you guys got family drama right now. It's hard to understand, but Jesus loves them. And these same things, man, God is faithful in his character, his sacrifice, and his action to them. And some of you have been hurt by other people. Man, your heart is heavy. But you have to understand, though that person has brought tribulation or disappointment or anxiety or sorrow into your life, God never will. God never will. Now, I have been, this is no joke, I've been hearing from a lot of you guys. And I've been experiencing myself the faithfulness of God. You know, over these last 8 weeks when we kind of shifted, started talking about the 72 and we started praying for people, you guys are telling me these things. Everything from being chased down in a store to randomly talking to a coworker that they hadn't really talked to before, and now they have Jesus questions. Having opportunities to speak with people, I have been hearing and experiencing the faithfulness of God. And I can say that I am overwhelmed right now by what I am hearing and seeing. I think that would be a fair statement to say, man, guys, you got to understand, I am overwhelmed with what God is doing right now. I am overwhelmed by the faithfulness of God. But I think it would be more accurate to say that in my own life, I am just in a place where I can better see his faithfulness. I don't think God said, oh, all of a sudden this day on the calendar is going to hit and I'm all of a sudden going to be faithful. I think God has been faithful all along. I just don't know if I've been in the place to see that faithfulness What about you guys? Is that a crazy statement? Is that a far out statement? Like, oh, Pastor, that's completely wrong. I don't think it is. I think our perception has a lot to do with where we are, and I think our faith is what determines our perception. See, I think I can also say that as a body, because this body committed to pray for five people, some there's probably overlap, right? But there's not a ton of overlap. So this many people, we've got a lot of people gone today, but this many people, they're praying for five people. How many people is that? That's exponential. Are we praying for 500 people? Are we praying for 750 people? Could we be praying for 1,000 different people to come to know Christ? I think that's amazing. And I think when we commit to that, and I think when we're steadfast on that, I think as a body, we are in a better place to see the faithfulness of God. I think we're in a better place to see the faithfulness of His character. I think we're in a better place to see the faithfulness of His action. And I know we're in a better place to see the faithfulness of His sacrifice. So how about you? Peek into a crowd. There's all sorts of faces. I'm always told, look to the left, because the people on the right side need that too. And I always go this way. I'm going this way too. Seeing a lot of good-looking people out here. Seeing a lot of good-looking people in the middle. Seeing a lot of good people over here. We're kind of heavy on this side, light on the other, but we got people missing. It all balances out. That's my thought right there. Is, hey, we're like this. You got to help me because this is my bad knee. I need more over here. But I'm looking at all you guys, and I'm just saying, how about you? I'm talking to you individually right now. How about you? Are you? Tune everything out right now. Doesn't matter who you're sitting by. Doesn't matter if you're talking to your wife about where you're going to eat for lunch. Shouldn't have ever brought that up. Doesn't matter any of those things. I'm talking to you specifically right now. Are you in a place where you can see and experience the faithfulness of God on a daily basis? Honestly, is that where you guys are at? Or are you not at it? We can't be honest in this sanctuary. Among brothers and sisters, where can you be honest? Now, if I ask that question, are you in a place where you can see and experience the faithfulness of God on a daily basis? And you're sitting there and you're saying, I am. I am. I'm right there. I see it. I wake up every morning and I pray and I greet the day with Jesus. And I say, God, what are you going to do in my life today? What are you going to allow me to see today? What opportunities are you going to place before me today? There's people in here and that's exactly where you're at. And I would say that is awesome. What a great place to be. But I also have to ask, now, where is that leading you? Where is that leading you? How is that changing your life? How is that changing your day-to-day? How is that changing your current situation? How is that changing the people that are around you? See, we can get to that awesome place. And we think it's great because we're seeing the faithfulness of God and we're living in that experience and it's wonderful and it's great and you feel so close to God. But you take it all and you grab it for yourself. And you hold it for yourself. Forgetting that God's giving that to you so you can do what? Open it up and extend it. So if you're in a place where you can say, yes, I can see and experience the faithfulness of God and I'm doing it on a day-to-day basis, it is awesome. But ask yourself, what is that leading you into? What are you doing with that? But on the other hand, and it may be more people in today than not. Maybe in here right now you're saying no. Man, you're describing things and I've had it once, or you're describing things and I long for that, but no, right now I am not in a place where I can see I can't experience the faithfulness of God. Pastor, you talked about all these things, and I believe them, but I'm not experiencing them, and it's hurting me, and it's dragging me down, and the temptation comes in, and I fall to it every time, and I'm not faithful to God, and I'm even questioning the sacrifice because of me and who I am. Maybe that's you, where you're just not experiencing the faithfulness of God. Not on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. Man, maybe it's been months. Maybe you're in a dry spot. If you're not experiencing the faithfulness of God on a daily basis, then I have to ask you, why aren't you? What a horrible pastor. I'm supposed to come and coddle you guys. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say, why aren't you experiencing it? Why aren't you experiencing it? Because I know. We just went through it. I know that God is always faithful. God is always faithful. So why aren't you experiencing that faithfulness? Worship team, will you quietly, quietly come up here? If everything that the Bible says is true, and if today's message was based upon Scripture that is true, then we can't debate that because the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. So if you truly believe that God is faithful, faithful in all his actions, faithful in his sacrifice, faithful in his character, my heart cries out, why aren't you experiencing that faithfulness that he has for you? We pull the lights down all the way. Shut them off. We want it. The reason we do this is just so the distractions can be gone. I'm speaking to you guys right now. I don't care where you're at. I'm not speaking to the person next to you. I'm not speaking to the person behind you, the person in front of you. I don't want you thinking, boy, there's so-and-so needs to hear this message because they could really benefit from it. I'm not speaking to them. Right now I'm speaking to you. If you are struggling right now in any way, shape, or form, and within that struggle, you can't really see God's action upon your life, I'm going to ask you to do something completely crazy. I'm going to ask you to do something that may be the hardest thing that you can do in your entire life. I'm going to ask you something that it's a whole lot more than just a little bit scary. Because we know God is faithful in all that he does. Because we know that God doesn't want to see any of his people hurting. Because God is a God of action. Because God is a God of sacrifice. And because God is a God of character, I have a confidence in knowing that whatever you're going through right now, God has the answer. God has the ability. God is extending that action. So as crazy as this sounds, and as hard as it might be, and as scary as it might seem, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar this Sunday morning. I'm going to ask you to get before God. I'm going to ask you to let everything other than him go. Maybe it's 30 seconds. Maybe it's 5 minutes. But God is calling his people, and I haven't done this in a long time. Not something I do every Sunday. But when the Holy Spirit impresses it upon me, I have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Can God touch you in the parking lot? Absolutely. Can He touch you in your house? Absolutely. Can He touch you in the chair that you're sitting in right now? Absolutely. There's nothing beyond God's ability. But sometimes God says, I need some action back from you. Now, if we have a church that's so good that nobody is struggling, then we got a problem within our church. I don't want a church full of perfect people. I want a church full of people desperately seeking God. So in a moment, I'm going to open up these altars. We're going to sing a song, Come. It's called Come to the Altar. It's a beautiful song. If you're in a place that you don't want to be, if you're in a hurtful place, if you're in a scared place, if you're in a place of temptation, if you're in a place of sin, maybe it's willful sin, this morning, God is saying, come. Come to the altar. Drop it before me. There's going to be people that might come up and simply place a hand on your back. Understand what they're doing. They're praying for you. They're praying that you get through this desert, this season of nothingness or hurt or sorrow or anger or whatever it is. There's times in our life, as hard as it is, and speaking as a man, it's terribly hard to swallow our pride. Come on up, brother. You don't have to wait on me. To get down on your knees, to stand before God and just to profess your love for Him. And watch Him wrap His arms around you and show His faithfulness to you. If that's you this morning, I'm opening these altars. Come forward. Get a dose of Jesus. Get a dose of the Holy Spirit. And don't leave here with the same stuff that you carried in. Father God, Lord, what an amazing thing you want to do in each and every one of our lives. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about your character, your sacrifice, and your action. Lord, you are calling your people home to you. It hurts you when we hang on to things that harm us. So Lord God, as we come to this altar and we lay it down, we know that you will grab it, you will take it, you will send it away. But Lord God, allow us to not pick it back up. Lord, if those in here on this altar need healing, physical, emotional, spiritual healing, whatever it may be, Lord, I believe that you are beginning that right now. You are starting that right now as I speak. Lord, you will meet people here today. And Lord God, I believe that they will not leave here the same way that they came in, because Lord, your faithfulness endures forever. So Jesus, Lord, be glorified. We're in amazement of who you are. Let your love be extended. Lord, let your love wash out from this altar. Lord God, you will not disappoint. So minister to each person right here and right now in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. God is stirring, right? The Holy Spirit is stirring. This is a time, this is such a beautiful, unique time. Don't let it pass by too quickly. Allow God to continue to stir. If you've got a dose of God right now, reach out and begin to pray with one another. Begin to encourage one another. Today marks a day of change. It marks a day of change in your life, but it marks a day of change within this body. Bridge Assembly. So allow God to continue to stir things up in you. I'm telling you what, you're not going to walk out of here the same way you walked in. God's going to see to that. we're going to hear testimonies. We're going to see changes. God gave you an opportunity or a word to share with somebody, be it here or somewhere else. Be faithful within that. We're going to leave these altars. We're going to leave these altars open. I'm going to pray. If you're ready to be dismissed, you can be dismissed. If you want to just bask in Jesus just a little bit longer, I invite you to do so. Father, what a beautiful time. What a beautiful morning you have bestowed to your beloved. And Lord God, this isn't something that's unique to this small time slot, but Lord God, it's something, Lord God, that you desire to do within our lives every day. You are the God of action. And Lord God, we rejoice in that. You are the God of sacrifice. We rejoice in that. You are the God of character, and we rejoice in that. And Lord God, we long for more of your faithfulness in each one of our lives. So Lord God, as we leave this building today, Lord God, we know that we are not leaving without you. For those that might have come back to you this morning, for those that might have made a decision to follow you this morning, Lord God, direct us to their path. Lord God, put prayer upon our hearts. And Lord God, watch us for the opportunity to display your character, sacrifice, and action upon this community. Jesus, we love you. Be with those that are absent this morning. Jesus, be glorified. Pray this in your mighty and awesome name. And everyone said, amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.